Oilers. We're the Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers number one. Yes, we're the Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers number one.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to Battle Red Radio. Tonight, I'm joined by the Alabama to my Georgia, my good friend Taylor, to talk about week 18 of the NFL season. How are you doing tonight, Taylor?
I'm doing all right, man. I always figured that you're going to call me some, like, Texans nickname. What was it? Was it Toro? Is that his name?
Yeah, that's the mascot. The mascot of the year.
I was going to say, are you going to call me like the mascot to your year?
Actually, I should have said the Atina to my DJ.
Yeah. Oh my God. I will always, by the way, if there is somebody that is listening to this that wants to get Matt the perfect gift, it is the Atina, the DJ's jersey. If somebody can please, please do that for him, he will love it. I swear.
Yeah, one of the things about, like, watching the Texans is, like, they're just very bland and very lame. And just, like, the aesthetics of the team just kind of suck, you know? Like, that football feeling stuff, that we don't want to be the Patriots South while we consistently get ex-Patriots players. Their song they play after they score a touchdown says, God bless Texans. They got DJ Atina spinning the beats. They did the Texans pup this year because so many people hated the team. They're like, well, we'll bring a puppy in to take the carnage that our fan base, you know, afflicts on us. And did you see Joe Biden came up with the White House dog? They did the same thing. The White House did it too.
It's because the Texans are now turning into a more positive atmosphere. So that's what Biden is hoping for, is to be able to duplicate the Texans' success with that puppy, because this team has fought hard this year.
They did exactly that.
And then Biden's going to be wanting that exact same momentum. I understand where he's going.
Joe Biden copied the Houston Texans.
That's exactly what happened.
But yeah, and he has a dog named Scout, I think. It's a German Shepherd that has its own Twitter account. And it says things like, woof, woof, I love scratches, and things like that. It's disgusting.
Woof, woof, I love scratches?
How, yeah.
Is he able to type?
I have no idea. Probably it's snout.
That's interesting. And by the way, do you think that's a good job to have? Hey, so what do you do for a living? I'm the president's dog on Twitter.
I got a communications degree. Exactly. So I could run the White House dog Twitter account.
I work close to the president for this particular reason. I'm so glad I have three masters.
Yeah, that person probably has, like, keys to the nuclear bombs, too. Okay, so it's at, are you ready for this? The Oval Poffice.
What?
Yes, I'm not making it up.
The Oval Poffice.
Yep. Wow, there's four people I know following it. I gotta get rid of all. It looks kind of like my dog, though. Oh, no, the dog's name is Commander, not Scout.
Man. So now we automatically know what the success to life is. Whenever you feel down and out, you buy yourself a new dog.
Listen to this. Oh my paw! This is the first time I'm experiencing snow. It's a populous thing, exclamation point. This is how my home and personal dog park. It's a dog, not a cat. What is this personal dog park look like now? Comma, isn't it beautiful? That's a sentence splice, and you shouldn't have that comma there. That pup is a service dog. I'll go join him for snow zoomies. A woof. First pup, Commander Biden. Hashtag snow.
Dad. That may have been the most that's probably the worst thing I've heard in quite a while, because I would hope that you wow.
Yeah. Do you want to hear a Texans pup tweet?
I want to yes, I need the compare and contrast.
All right. Let's see here. This one's it's a lot simpler. Like, he's sitting on a bench with some statues that said, made some new fur ends today. They rock. My first year, FURST year, has been the best year yet. Thanks for all of the motivation. Service pup, here I come.
I don't have a problem with it.
It's actually, this dog's actually pretty cute.
And the Twitter account's out there.
Texans pup has a Kwanzaa tweet. Happy Kwanzaa, fam, fam. Love you all. That's good. It's an inclusive puppy.
Whoa.
Do you remember that Futurama joke at all?
Which one was the Futurama?
It was like, you know, like Christmas books or whatever. And then the Kwanzaa one was, what the hell is Kwanzaa? I still don't know what it is.
I don't understand what
I've
it
never
is
met
either.
One person that celebrates Kwanzaa.
Neither have I. Even with what's it called? We had people in high school that were from all over country. It was weird whenever they were transferred to our school, and not one of them ever said they celebrated Kwanzaa.
I've met a lot of people in this world. Never met one person that celebrates Kwanzaa.
That's right. You've been traveling to things.
Yeah.
Wait, where is Kwanzaa supposed to be?
I've been all over this country. I've never met one person. I would say this. Texans pup, better job than the Oval Pawfish, you know?
Well, yeah. And by the way, to your point, they said purr. Why would you ever say purr? That now is defeating the purpose of all the paw things that you were just saying beforehand. Now I don't know what you are.
Yeah. Is it a cat? Is it a dog? You know?
What if it's really inclusive and it doesn't know what it wants it to be, and maybe it'll get surgery in order to be a cat?
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. There's a lot of tweets like when the sun hits just right, of it sitting in the sunlight, things like that.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? This sounds like I need to somehow put my resume towards this.
If you were an apple, I'd pick you, BC, I love you. That's nice.
You're like going through their feed now as if you're a fan.
Happy birthday to my best friend, Miss McNair. I love you. Who's Cal McNair's mother?
That's good.
I guess so. So, I don't know. I'm very disappointed, though. I did not see Texans pup at the football game. I would have kicked it. I would have kicked that dog if I saw that dog.
Okay. All right. But to your point, it was Fan Appreciation Day. You would think that the fans would be wanting to see the pup. That's what I bought my ticket for specifically, is to be able to go and see the pup.
Yeah.
And then
I bought that ticket to kick that dog, and I didn't get the chance to. You know, it was very frustrating to not get the chance to be able to enact my revenge on this dog. One of the things that about this game too is that we showed up like, you know, about a little way through the first quarter. We had a 9 miles per hour sprint to the stadium. Right whenever we got there, the ticket guy for the parking pass, you know, your uncle had an extra parking pass for us. He was in front of us because we had parking passes to the green lot, but I guess the red lot is a lot better. And he's like, yeah, I got another one on my phone. They're with us behind me. He's like, don't worry about it, man. Just go ahead. And, like, I will say probably my favorite thing, well, like my second favorite thing about the game, the staff was really nice and friendly. Like, everybody who worked there, they were great. Like, the guy at the snack bar, you know, almost let me get it for free because he didn't make me rub my card and kind of forgot about it. There's two nice ushers talking to my wife while she was breastfeeding, you know, our son to try to get him to relax a little bit. The bartender was very friendly. I spoke to that one guy to get to the seats, always had the door open. He was wearing a suit. You know, he was very nice the entire time too. The staff was just incredibly friendly. You know, I've never seen this before.
Before we got to the staff, I just wanted to point out my favorite part, which was the no drinking in the parking lot. Apparently that was due to Cowboys fans because they suck so bad. And my uncle just kept saying that to me over and over again, saying that it's you crappy Cowboy fans. I hate you so much. You ruin everything. Everything is always your fault. I felt in that moment very appreciated because it made me be able to think of my own team. And I'm glad that we also have success in the Houston Texans to be able to shut it down in its own ways.
Yeah, they were actual Cowboys. It was like a Cormac McCarthy novel. They like came into town. They were spearing babies and hanging them from trees. And scalping people and just shooting people in the porta potty. You know, there's an evening redness in the West at that last Cowboys Texans game, which is a game the Texans won in overtime because DeAndre Hopkins was a tornado. He had that like 45-yard after the catch, just spinning through defenders to set the game-winning field goal.
He tells the story as people wrote in and truly just started going crazy on everybody. It's the weirdest thing. Just a group of Cowboys fans just started causing trouble. They started going, fighting everybody. They turned tables over. They destroyed everything. It just got out of hand where now there's no alcohol in the parking lot.
Yeah, it says alcohol is prohibited, and I saw probably like 7 people drinking in the parking lot on the walk there and the walk back, you know. It was pretty dead, though. Like, I know whenever we went to that game all those years ago, the only other one we've been to, we got to the game a little bit late because we had a far walk because we had an RV that weekend for it. And the whole time, there's people in the parking lot, you know, playing cornhole and playing beer pong and drinking and eating. And, like, we just didn't see very much of that at all. It was just like people parked, went to the game, got in the car, went back home, you know.
Man, I didn't see one single person having, like, even the back of
the truck.
I saw one tailgate
when we left. There's like 15 people after the game tailgating. I saw one, though, in that whole parking lot.
I don't know. Maybe they were just tailgating to be able to wait for the traffic to leave. I don't even know if I call that a tailgate, more of like a hang.
But it was a tailgate.
I don't know. Either way, to your point, the reason why I can't call it a tailgate, what you said earlier, we had to bring an RV last time. It was just because it was like multiple RVs where it turned into a big party area where truly you would just be going down line after line and there would be pits after pits of just smoke, people drinking. Nobody, people wouldn't go to the game. They had the TVs outside to be able to play the games.
Yeah.
I saw none of that.
I hadn't seen that either at all.
No RVs.
It's a different world now.
Yeah, I know, but still kind of lame. I mean, it's the last game of the season. You can at least initiate some type of party.
Yeah, celebrate the end of it.
Exactly. Celebrate the end of the season. But apparently you could just give away tickets at this point if you're a season ticket holder because you don't want them.
Yeah, and like we were going to go tailgate, but then some like you know unforeseen circumstances happened. So the tailgates like we were going to go to on Sunday ended up like, you know, we did not end up going because the people we were going to meet up with weren't going at all. So we were just kind of there and back. But also during the game too, whenever Houston fell down 21-0, everybody left. Like, the place was, like, pretty empty, and then, like, half of what was already, like, half the people left when they were down 21-0 at halftime didn't show up at all. And the other weird thing, too, it's, like, it was loud in there. Like, really loud, but when you looked around, nobody was cheering, and nobody was screaming, yet the place was deafening, and they're definitely pumping in crowd noise there. They're definitely having crowd noise coming over the speakers to make it seem louder than it actually is, you know. I didn't hear anybody yell at all.
No, it was weird the fact that even when they do the, and the girls scream, and the guys scream, and I was like, why are the guys groaning like that? Is any guy doing that right now?
Nobody.
And not one single guy. You go, okay, well, that was really loud as if it was some type of echo. It turns out, no, it's just the speakers. They do pump the noise, which in that case you kind of have to if you're that empty to be able to show on TV. There are some people, right?
It's embarrassing, though. I'd rather just actually hear it for what it is, you know?
Why? It was just Titans fans, though. My lord, I've never seen so much blue in every single seat.
Yeah, we had a Titans fan in front of us, or we had a few. One of them was wearing a Steve McNair shirt, see? And I think it was like her mom was there, and she had one of those visors with the weird hair on the top of it. And then there was another guy sitting by himself with an A.J. Brown jersey with his iPad taking selfies, and that was cute. And there were some Titans fans behind us who were very friendly, and they said that we had a beautiful baby as well, which was nice of them to say. But, like, the southeast corner of the end zone was filled with Titans fans, though. The whole section was Titans fans in the southeast corner of the stadium, too.
Yeah, no, it was just weird because you would look at, and that's what was funny about the crowd noise more than anything, is that whenever the Titans would be in the red zone, all of a sudden the crowd noise would get deafening. When in reality, you would look below and no Titans fans are saying a word. But then in the red zone with the Texans, you could hear the more crowd actually yelling and screaming.
Yeah, you could hear the difference between the two pretty obviously in those situations.
You know what? I just wish that more and more I could hear the a gunshot, or I'm sorry, cannon shot, whatever the hell it is, go off every single second of my day, because that's lovely, especially during extra points.
Yeah, they have this cannon, but it's like it's a cannon blast without an actual cannon at all. So I don't know how the guy does it, but he discharges something or fires something, makes this huge loud sound. But it's a cannon shot without a cannon at all. At least like pay the money to get a cannon in there. That's what you're trying to do, and it's obnoxious. There's no need for it. It's completely ridiculous. And every single time they scored or kicked a field goal, I was just sitting there, you know, at my nerves just like ready to go off because of this dumb cannon. Imagine all these veterans at the game, you know, suffering from PTSD, having a trembling whenever they shoot this cannon off, hiding underneath their seats in the fear that this cannon shot, you know, brings to them. I think it's terrible. It's a terrible thing to have.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to go that far with you. However, I wish instead if once the Texans score just a touchdown, because you don't need to do it for a field goal.
You don't need to do it at all.
Well, you can do it for
you
a
don't
touchdown.
Need to
you
got
to do it for a touchdown. So I have another idea. What if you just put a bull rider out there and he has to ride the bull for 8 seconds? What if you did
sure.
something like that? That would be great to watch. And something brand spanking new for all the television folks. I just, man, after an extra point, I go, is this for real? The guy just kicked an extra point. Why are you having to do it again? And even with field goals, I don't know if I have PTSD, but I do now.
Yeah, I know what it's like to fight in, you know, the Somme, you know. I know what the Battle of Versailles was like now.
That's exactly true. It was just sounding exactly the same.
Yeah, it was absurd. So what was your least favorite? Did you like that more than the DJ? Which one was worse in your mind?
The DJ I loved only for your reaction every time. It was because every time that she would do some type of spin and then point to the camera and then do a dance move where then she'd be pointing at the back of her jersey.
That was the one that got me. The point back to the custom name jersey in the back. And
it made it worthwhile. Like, that's all I want to keep going. So that was not the worst moment for me. I don't know if I really had a bad moment.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point to make. Like, all this isn't necessarily bad. Like, we went to a football game, and going to a football game is a fun thing to do. But, like, these are, like, also, like, these are just more like, grievances, you know, of the experience of it.
Well, I just love that it wasn't busy, and it was funny turning to my right every single time there was a new person sitting five seats away. And I just, every quarter, it was just somebody new. Oh, I went to go get a beer, come back. Hey, I don't know who you are, but all right, you were the person before.
Yeah, as long as you're not sitting in front of me, that's all that matters.
Exactly, and that's how it works. Even the people that were behind us were like, hey, if you want more space, nobody's sitting there. You can just scoot down.
Our whole row was empty.
Which was nuts. And also, $10 beers? What the hell?
Yeah,
if your team is losing, that doesn't mean you up the ante on the beer.
I think you could have got like a 12-ounce beer for $4.50, though. But it'd be like Miller Lite, you know. You have to get your craft beer.
I don't want no Miller Lite, though.
Yeah, that's what happened.
I don't want Miller Lite. If anything, I'll take a Bud Light, but I don't want no Miller Lite.
Well, you're not in San Antonio, so you can't drink, you know, Bud Light. You can only drink Bud Light in San Antonio.
And that's very true. Only when I'm watching the San Antonio Spurs.
Yep. Go Spurs, go. Bud Light. Bud Light, you know.
Sponsored here at the Battle Royal.
That DJ also, I thought it would have been funny if like we snuck up there and then cut her face off and put it over our face.
Oh,
and they go back to cut to the DJ in the booth.
What
and then you're just in the DJ booth wearing her face, dancing around, you know. And then the whole crowd starts screaming in fear, like, you know what I mean?
I don't know. What
and
you
you're
mean.
And you're and you're just playing every day. I'm hustling, just jumping around in the DJ booth.
This is extremely violent. I don't want to be a part of this whatsoever. And I will say, I would actually now. I still think we should have gotten the jersey and then had her autograph it. If we would have had her go for an autograph, it would have easily been probably one of the top two football games I've ever been to.
Yeah, that shirt I have is a sacred shirt. If it wasn't such a sacred shirt, my 2011 AFC style champion shirt. I've had that shirt for 10 years. It's the first playoff appearance the team has ever had. Their first division championship they ever had. You know, it's a piece of history. You know, I can't have that be muddied up by DJ Atenea.
DJ Atenea deserves to have a signature written on that shirt. You know why? Because she's a true fan of the Houston Texans, and you're just being a hater right now because you can't spin like
she wasn't
her.
Even spinning anything.
Man,
there was
no
spinning going on. She just had an iPod and then just played rap music from the 2000s.
No, man. She was doing the knobs and she was going crazy with the sounds. I was like, what?
I've seen better DJs at frat parties.
I've seen better DJs in Bring It On.
I think DJ Dooley's a better DJ than DJ Atenea.
You know what? I'm going to give you that. That's actually very true.
Yeah.
Because whenever it was a New Year's party, he knew how to spin.
Some mashups going, you know?
And that's all anybody wants. Atenea wasn't giving the mashups, though. She was throwing her own flavor out there.
Yeah, do you remember that that Notorious Big Miley Cyrus mashup?
Yeah, we played that song probably a million times.
Or the Lil Wayne Hustler Music with the Office theme song.
Ooh, that's still a good one.
That's a classic. These are some classics.
And then you had the, what was it, the Wiz Khalifa and Taylor Swift.
Yeah. And I think there's a Weezer one as well, too.
I think there was.
Yeah.
There was one. Oh, Ellie Goulding, Pretty Much With Everybody.
That song, Everything.
Everything, just no matter what song, Ellie Goulding with it.
Yes, every single thing. But I love the stadium, though. It's a beautiful stadium. Like, I really enjoy how the sunlight comes in through it. And, like, it's kind of like, I feel like I'm in, like, a botanical garden, you know? And it looks, like, almost too perfect, where it's kind of, like, bizarre how perfect, like, the way the field looks and the stadium looks. Like, it almost looks like a simulation. Like, I'm watching something, like, I'm watching a game of Madden, not really something that's actually, like, really happening in front of me, you know?
Well, no,
it looks too perfect.
As a guy that's been to a few stadiums in his life here, I don't like to brag or anything. It's been about 5, I'd say. But when it comes to seeing stadiums, the Texans is nice. The ones that I truly always seem to have a problem with are the old ones who just love to be outside. I mean, Seattle Stadium is so-so. Philly Stadium is so-so to me. Those type of old outside stadiums are the ones I usually have a problem with, because every single time I've been to a game, only once, but it's cold and rainy for either one.
Yeah, there's some stats going around too about like Josh Allen at home versus on the road, and he's a lot better on the road this year because it gets cold and rainy and all screwed up there, you know?
Yeah, Buffalo's a hard place to play, where you're pretty much having to expect one or two snow games a year. And that's not even including any of the ice bowls or, like, the slushy wetness that comes down.
Yeah, it's supposed to be, like, 28 degrees on Saturday night when those two teams play each other.
You think that maybe that's what Buffalo was trying to do, Matt, was not get home field the entire time?
Maybe.
That's
what that makes sense.
It was so that they could beat the away team.
Well, I guess when they lost the playoffs last year, they were on the road, but they beat Baltimore and Indy at home last year.
You know what? If they lose the New England Patriots, you're not allowed to like Josh Allen for a year.
No.
Yeah, it's going to.
Well, the other important thing about this game, too, is that while the Texans are playing, we were getting, you know, the scoreboard of the Jaguars game, and they were up 3-0. They were up 10-3. They went up 17-3.
Play games. Is there a reason why you can't play other games? Like, as a small, like, little corner TV in the Jumbotron, you can't play other games around the league? Is there something against this? I feel like there's not, considering you can play those at bars inside of the stadium. So what the hell is the difference if you just put the game in the top corner?
Like a quad box, like red zone thing?
Yeah. Just give me that. That's all I want to be able to watch. Just give me games around the league that I can actually watch. Otherwise, come on, do I really want to see the Jumbotron, like, as big as it can, saying, "Here they come, the squad!" And you're just, I get it, but I'd rather watch the game in the corner.
Yeah. Well, and like that game, I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. I just saw that Carson Wentz at QBR 5.4.
I know that makes you so happy more than anything.
He sucks so much.
You are so giddy. The problem is, man, I hate that Pittsburgh's in.
Me too.
Oh, God, do I hate that Pittsburgh's in. And I feel like at least Andy would have been a better team to watch.
No.
Carson Wentz, your point is just so terrible.
The point here is that there shouldn't be a seventh seed. The seventh seeds this year, Pittsburgh, they suck. Philly, they suck. Neither one of those teams should be in the postseason.
This year, it does go to what you argued with. Beforehand, I truly do love it. But this year, I don't know. Philly's
last
still
year
not
sucked
that
too.
Philly's not that bad of a team, though. And they truly sat their starters in the second half against Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, they had it locked up in that regard of it. But it's like, that would have been a winning it in game for them, maybe, if they, about that game, because the Niners were able to push them up ahead of it. But like last year, we got that crappy Bears team in. The Colts made in last year because of the seventh seed. The seventh seed sucks. They need to get rid of it. Six is too many.
I'm going to see how Philly does. I think that Philly's actually going to be.
Seven's too many. But, like, that means you're saying 14 teams out of 32 make the playoffs.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's nearly half the teams.
Nearly is not half, so it's okay. And
it's like 45%.
It's like 40% if you really want to get technical with it.
I think it's 45.
No, it's 40. I know it's 40.
All right, 14 divided by 32. You ready for this?
Yeah, I know. It's 40.
14 divided by 32. 43.75.
All right, so
I'm
since
closer.
We're playing Price is Right rules. You're over. You lose.
No, I'm closer.
No, dude, we're doing from below. It's closer. It's Price is Right rules.
No, we're not.
Yeah, you need to know Price is Right. You need to watch that.
I have cable now, so I don't have to watch that at all anymore.
Everyone should still watch Price is Right.
No.
It's the only thing. Nobody even watches cable. Why do you have cable?
I don't know, because she has cable, and she pays for the cable, and so I guess I have cable then.
You should cancel the cable and just get all the streams.
We got, like, YouTube TV, and we got all that other stuff, you know. It's so hard watching anything anymore. I try to find it. I got to go through five different things to try to find something. I'm trying to find one thing. I got to go through five different things to find it. It
drives
me
crazy. We're actually playing on regular TV, or did you have to go and search it? Or was it only allowed for Houston?
For this game yesterday?
Yeah.
It was only in Houston.
God, I'll always remember that with last week and me going, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, no, I've had to stream it through, like, Solaris streams, like a Reddit, you know, NFL stream thing for, like, probably six or seven of the games this year I've had to.
And you know what sucks is the fact that a lot of the Houston Texans game has really been competitive, especially in the second half of the year, where then I've been stuck with a lot of crappy Cleveland games as well.
Yeah. Ugh.
Which, duh, it's been so bad to be able to watch. And especially even the Baltimore Ravens have just been banged up. And then you have the Pittsburgh Steelers. AFC, woo!
It's a stinker.
Man. It is, but the NFC's not much better. Every single team this year has a chance. Every single team can go to the Super Bowl and win it.
Yeah, I don't think every single team has a chance, but I think like six or seven teams have a chance. And we talked about in the NFC before, like it's a rock, paper, scissors, you know, conference this year, whereas the AFC thing is pretty wide open.
AFC, but I agree with the rock, paper, scissors. I would just say that even with the first round of the NFC, it still feels like that it's going to be competitive with certain teams. I don't know who's going to win certain games.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be fun. I just wish there was one less game.
Going back to my point, always have another game in the screen.
Two less games. I wish there was two less games than wild card round. So going back to this game, I think my favorite thing about going to an NFL game, though, is the punts and the kicks. Like, I love watching the ball go up high in the air and then come back down. Like, that's my favorite thing about going to a baseball game, too, is watching a good pop fly. There's nothing better than a good pop fly at a baseball game.
Well, it's like you can reach out and almost touch it.
Yeah.
It looks like it's the real-life, like, video game type thing. I agree with you completely, where the punt, especially when you're not even up high, you're just even midway in the stadium, it's when the ball is up in the air like that, you're like, I got it! I got it, coach!
I get it.
I got it. I can almost catch it.
It's beautiful. And it was also cool, like, watching, like, the downfield passes develop, too. Like you know, Tennessee ran a couple of, you know, play-action shots, and you just see, like, oh, he's really going for it. Oh, the ball's in the air. Oh, you know, that was exciting, too. Like, I love the punts and the deep passes, you know.
Well, to compare, it's really funny when you compare, like, on TV versus real life, where the passes and the kicks are so much more exciting, where the runs are less exciting.
Yeah, it's just hard to tell what's going on.
Exactly. Unless they truly break away, there is some cases where, depending on where you want to see it, we just got lucky because, you know, the podcast, million viewers, we have to have the best seats. So whenever you see the actual run away, sometimes even if 10 yards, you're like, it was okay. But on TV, you're like, that's the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with that. And it's also, it's like hard to watch a football game live too like that. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to, like, really know what's going on, like, having a good feel for it. I think a lot of it, too, there's just a lot of distractions, you know? Everybody moving around, the noise, the, you know, the big screen TV. They need to get rid of all cheerleaders in every stadium, you know?
So you just believe in the San Antonio Spurs method to go back? Just a hype squad? That's all you want?
No, they should get rid of that, too. They should have none of that.
So what are you going to do? Wait,
I'm saying zero theatrics. I want to see a football game with no theatrics. So,
man, you know what? What would a football game be like where you don't have any of the mascots?
No mascots.
You don't have any cheerleaders.
No cheerleaders.
Where you don't have any of the music.
No music.
You have nothing.
None of that. No home team, home field captain at all. No Jumbotron, you know. Thank you, Texans fans. No halftime trivia. None of that.
Just absolute people talking as if this is the 1930s.
And cheering and stuff. You can still cheer and all that, you know. But you don't get told to cheer.
Yeah, I'd rather be told to cheer, though, in some things. And you know what? I'm going to disagree with you in some cases. Because even with the halftime, it's like, oh, look, these people are playing a present game. Look at this. I like presents. I want to watch a present game. Versus if there's nothing that's going on, I'm like, oh, man, I'm just staring at the clock because it just ticks down. And then I'm just losing my mind saying, oh, no, I have ADD. I need to see something. And then I get a present game. I'm kind of going to disagree with you. I need something. The music, some of that, it's just so overdone these days where, again, the DJ. But then you have – the mascot. I like the mascots for the kids. There's some things I need to keep here.
The kids need to understand they don't need to be, you know, stimulated all the time, you know?
What are you talking about? Of course they do.
No, it's like this iPad generation of children that are being bred right now.
That's not even the same thing. I'm not saying to give him a screen. I'm saying to have a character out there where the kid's like, oh, hey, look at him over there. That's what I'm saying for them to be able to have and see.
No.
No, you don't want anything? You're just like, no, son, I want you to watch the players.
Screw them. Screw them, kids. They need to be paying attention to the game itself.
What type of fan are you when your own team has mascot out of the year and you're saying we should get rid of that crap? You are such a horrible
fan. The only good mascot is the Jaguars mascot.
How about your mascot that just won this year?
No, the Jaguars mascot's hilarious. He, like, almost commits suicide every single game.
Oh, my God. Wait, is it with the zip line and everything that he does?
Yeah. He remember that one time when he fainted?
Yes. If you haven't seen his videos, you got to look it up. You're wild.
Yeah, he's just, like, limp, just floating through the air.
Oh, they go all out. And you know why? It's because they have a pool in their stadium. The Texans need a pool. I think we need to spice it up. Instead of a pool, what if they had just a jacuzzi?
A jacuzzi?
Yeah, just a big old jacuzzi where it could fit like 30 people.
Huh.
And it's right behind the end zone. And a player could jump into it at one time.
Maybe.
Instead of Danny Amendola jumping into the crowd and having one guy pat on him, Amendola could jump into a jacuzzi. I think that's what the Houston Texans would be able to survive with in order to just bring in fans. Because I would be going in the jacuzzi.
All right, so maybe we can do that. So I'm looking at here. We got DJ Athens is what it is. It's not Tanya. She doesn't have a very booked schedule for the month of January. So let's see what else we got here. She's going to a Bohm happy hour. Nothing else here at all. She has a podcast though. Maybe we can listen to her podcast called Pure Stimulation. And it's just about the house hits that she's been jamming to. Huh.
Wait, is that's not like a real podcast,
Yeah, it
right? That's
is.
not the just
This is a quote from here. Are you ready? There's nothing like connecting souls through the power of music, and power and music are capitalized.
All right, man. You know what? You need to be more supportive of your team. This is Listen, you guys are just all in the spirits of the atmosphere and the world. It's all around us through the music that we feel. And you know who's going to bring it to us? DJ Atenya.
Athens, DJ Athens is what it
It
is.
said Atenya. I'm going to
That's
say
what I
Atenya.
thought too.
I like Atenya so
Oh,
much
she's
more than
also
Athens.
a model and an actress. Don't forget that also.
So am I. I
She
put that on my resume.
toured with Truth on the final Cross Country Vans Warped Tour and performed at festivals like Freaky Deaky Texas.
Oh, my uncle was talking about Freaky
Oh, really? Has he
Deaky.
been a
Said
Freaky
that.
Deaky?
Yeah, because he was talking about Astro World too. So just
What did he
saying
think? Did
how.
he think it was a satanic ritual as well?
No, he doesn't think it's a satanic ritual. Instead, he's like, oh, he's screwed. Oh, he is so screwed. So that's why he's a little more disappointed because Astro World did bring in business, where
Yeah.
now he thinks Houston is not going to have that type of festival again.
Gotcha.
For example, Freaky Deaky was also another big festival where he's not even sure if that's going to occur.
I don't like the Freaky Deaky name. It's kind of gross.
Why? Why?
It's too freaky. I'm a little bit more
It's
deaky. I'm not very freaky. I'm more deaky than freaky.
don't know what that means, but it sounds really right.
The last thing about the game that was really made me laugh. But it was beautiful. I had a great time. I wish I went to more games, this previous decade, once I had money to be able to afford to go to a Texans game. It took me 5 or 6 years out of college to be able to go. And then whenever I could go, I was too mad about the Jadeveon Clowney trade to go, and then COVID happened and everything else. And so we finally had a chance to go this year, and it was a lot of fun, and I'm very thankful for being able to go this weekend like we did. The last thing that was really funny was on the exit out. Did you do any people watching at all, walking out of the stadium? It was a
No, I never.
madhouse.
Yo, well, yeah, it's always a madhouse. The only thing I hate, is whenever I had the guy behind me, Houston, Texans, standing right behind me, and I was like, stop screaming. But I didn't say anything. I just was like, you know what? You're a fan. Whatever. Just know the guys in front of you hate the screaming. Okay?
Everybody hates the screaming. They were screaming around us too, and we had this like little baby with us. There were some Titans fans yelling, tying up, and then one guy like turned around. His friend was like, had his own jersey that said like Big Mo, like 63 or 43 or something like that. And his friend turned around and yelled like right in our ear, "Yeah, and Davis Mills just put 300 yards on y'all's ass." I'm like, "Good one. I'm glad you got him like that. I'm good. You got him. I hope you're very happy about it." And there's a lot of Titans fans just like, scream about how they clinched the one seed and Derrick Henry's coming back and how the Houston Texans messed up by being the third by picking third overall, that they can't even lose games right, and talking about how sorry we are and everything else,
I didn't understand the bragging from any side at that point. Whenever you're saying tighten up, when you're beating the Houston Texans, who are supposed to lose that game and you are supposed to win that game, I don't know what the hell you're trying to say right now. That was actually something you were supposed to do. So you should probably act like that. Which brings me to my other point. The Titans are just lucky. Oh my God, and they are going to lose so bad in the playoffs where I cannot wait to laugh my ass off. But the other.
I do like tying up though. At first, I thought it was the stupidest thing ever, and then now it's grown on me because it's so stupid. It doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. I feel like that it's like a Pokemon thing where instead of saying, go, I choose you, it's like tighten up.
Yeah.
Within you transform into something. I don't know. That's always what I think of it, but it's also because I watch a lot of anime. Anime Kid Lover number 69.
I always think like if I, had ED and was like, I need to go, eat a Viagra real fast, it'd say, "Got tying up, hun."
I don't want to comment on anything you're saying right now. That's never what I've ever thought of Titan Up as. I've always envisioned it as an actual Titan. You
No.
envision it Titan, like
Yeah.
Titan.
Like that's
Like,
what I feel about it too. It's like you can tighten up too, But maybe
yeah.
that's the problem with the Titans is they just tighten up a little too hard, and they play all these close games like they do.
The Tennessee Titans are so bad right now, man. I can't believe that they even won that game. Oh yeah, it was because of a penalty. Oh yeah, it's because they pulled out of their ass on third down. It just, come on. Come on. Oh yeah,
I
because
saw
they
that I saw
stole
this other
the job.
guy that looked like the villain in Men in Black One. the guy that turns into a giant roach. I saw a guy that looked just like that guy.
You know, that guy is Kingpin in Daredevil now.
Don't know what that
He's Kingpin
means.
in the Marvel Universe. He was also in Law and Order Criminal. What is it? Criminal Investigations? I don't know. Either way, he is a big time actor, and I didn't realize that that's who it was at a young age. Look him up, man. He's a big time guy. You'll recognize him the moment you see his picture.
Interesting. All right, I may have to do that. The Titans are 6-2 in one score games this year, by the way. And then the last guy I saw that I want to bring up when we were leaving the stadium trying to drive home. Well, one, there was a guy to the left of us that probably drank 10 vodka cranberries and couldn't stand up at all, and they were like swaying and like hollering. It's like this is a Sunday at 1:30 in the afternoon, But whenever we were leaving, I saw him while when we were leaving. And the guy who was really drunk next to us saw me laughing at him because he couldn't walk at all and made a very angry face. But when we were leaving the stadium, we got down to like a couple of stoplights. And there's this guy in a Deshaun Watson shirtsy with the phenotype of big belly, skinny legs, the IPA body, as I like to call it. And he had flip-flops on, had trouble like walking his flip-flops. And he was also trying to eat the last little bit of popcorn he had. He had like a souvenir Texans popcorn, and he's like trying really hard to eat his popcorn. Can't walk very well. His wife is yelling at him, and this is all taking place in the foreground of an Olive Garden billboard behind it. And I just thought to myself, this we are a country of disgusting pig people,
I saw a guy in a shark suit when we were driving away. A blue shark suit. And
Okay.
of course, it was just a small white guy just wanting to be funny. You know what's not funny, Matt? Dressing up in a
Oh,
shark
like the
outfit.
Katy Perry shark sort of thing.
Yes.
That was like 6 years ago.
Yes. And it gets to a point where it's like, dude, try harder. Seriously, try harder.
Go log on to Reddit. Go move to
Yeah.
Austin, Texas if you want to wear a shark suit.
Hey, and I haven't told my boys, my uncle, and Bart, man, that just looks uncomfortable to have to wear for that long. And it's true. Why are you going so? And by the way, I did not see him on the demo try. So whatever he was trying to do, he failed.
Yeah, he failed.
Yeah.
Have you ever been on a Jumbotron before?
I don't think so. Maybe I have, but I've been on the news after the game.
Okay, that's even
Yeah.
better.
Where they were interviewing after the Father's Day in the playoffs with the San Antonio Spurs.
Oh, for the
And
finals.
yeah, and we walked out and we were interviewed by Ken's Five.
Did you
So I
make it
think
on
that counts.
TV?
Yeah, of course we did. We made it on TV. We were like the family after the game.
Oh, cool. Did you record it at all? Did you see it?
Oh, yeah. My grandma recorded it. They have it.
Oh, I want to see that.
Yeah,
That's
okay,
even
you can see.
better. I was at a Reds game and I was talking to my friends and I was like, Have any of y'all ever been on the Jumbotron before? And while I'm asking that, they put us on the Jumbotron.
Ooh.
I'm not making this up. And then I'm like, what in the world? Yeah, that was a synchronicity. That was a Jungian synchronicity right there.
Well, I was going to hope that you would have some type of conspiracy theory where the people on the Jumbotron aren't real.
I mean, I think they're real.
Well, yeah. Because
you can see them. Like, you can see them and stuff. Yeah, they're real.
Well, I was just saying, knowing you, you would probably say that's all a lie. And it's just a part of our imagination where we want to be able to see that person dancing.
No, I mean, this is a case where it's real. No, I feel pretty good about that one. So this game, this is another good Davis Mills game. And really kind of the difference in this game between the first half and the second half was that, like you talked about a lot when we were watching the game, they kept running the ball on first and second down, and they would get like 1 yard or 2 yards, and they constantly were facing, you know, 3rd and 9, 3rd and 8, and then Mills, you know, hit incompletions, or the pass rush got to those longer third downs. And then what changed in the second half of this one is they went empty. They went 5 wide receiver. They went hurry up. And they pass protected well. You know, like, I don't know why they didn't do it sooner. And playing a more spread out offense, you know, Mills was able to, you know, find open wide receivers. And, you know, Danny Amendola, I guess, is the secret to this offense we didn't know about.
Oh, man, I told you after the first catch, you were like, who's your favorite player? I go, it's Danny Amendola. And what happens after that? He didn't go 7 catches, has 2 TDs, and it's because Taylor called it. But I think also what helped is that Brandon Cooks was out in the second half, where then it just seems like Davis Mills, to your point, with the spread offense, he was able to give everybody involved. And the wide receivers and even Burkhead were making incredible catches. It was just actually really fun to see. And Davis Mills got an arm. I mean, he was truly feeding them over the top, where it was no way to throw it short, otherwise it's picked. So even though his guys had to make incredible catches, it was because in some way that was the only way to put the ball. I just liked it overall because it then turned into a really exciting game.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch the coach's film because I saw some clips of, you know, some of the throws that he made from the behind view of him. Like, that's just a really good throw, you know?
Yeah, and it was a lot better than with Tannehill, either to compare where Davis Mills receivers were actually making the catches. Either Tannehill, his receivers, Julio, was tipping something or he was throwing over their head.
Yeah.
They just on the same thing, and they, like what I said, they were pulling things out of their ass on third down every time, it seemed.
Yeah, the Titans converted a lot on third down, felt like. And I mean, Tannehill pretty much had the same numbers that Mills did, but the difference is that he missed, you know, that downfield shot to Julio. He threw that near pick to Terrence Brooks. He was able to draw a pass interference penalty because Eric Murray ran right into the wide receiver in the second half too, that set up a touchdown to, I think, Ferkser was the one who caught that one out in the flat at that point in the game. Or no, I guess it wasn't for, yeah, it was Ferkser. That was how he caught his touchdown. But Tannehill was good this game. He was also, like, good against pressure. Like, he broke that sack from Jacob Martin and converted on that one. He got the pocket pretty well. He was able to climb and kind of make some throws outside the structure of the offense too. And I mean, this was a good Tannehill game. This is probably, you know, one of the best games he's had this season. And they just, like, really spread it out well, their passing attack. Because the Texans' run defense was good, you know, at times this game. They gave us some big runs to Hilliard, but Deontay Foreman only had 21 carries for 69 yards and a long of 16. And so they did a good job of being able to not let them, like, bounce runs wide. And they really did a good job setting the edge and forcing everything back into the interior. And this is probably, like, you know, one of the better run defensive games they've had also.
Well, yeah, and it just truly seemed like that Foreman really just got going in the first half. Where then in the second half, I don't know if they kept it or they just stopped putting their pedal on the metal there, but they truly just seemed like they were running it on 2 of the 4 downs. And Foreman wasn't doing much in the second half whatsoever. It was in that first half where he was just pulling off either some type of little screen pass, some type of run that then turned into 12 yards. It just got a little out of hand in that first half. I just think the thing that also stands out to me was the penalties. And it's because it was 2 main ones that ended that first half where it wasn't even just the Tennessee Titans one with the pass interference, but also with the run back.
Yeah, the kickoff return.
where then it was some type of crap with the block in the back or whatever after they were in field goal range after that kickoff. So that was your 3 points right there that the refs didn't call back. That first half, those that was a little bit rough to see in the first two or last 2 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with that. And they're also, they could have a chance to make it like, you know, 21-3 at the half or whatever else. So Mills, 23-33, 301 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, 2 sacks. You hear the running attack? David Johnson, 5 carries for 28 yards. He had his longest run the season for 15 yards. Rex Burkhead, 12 carries for 24 yards.
So
pretty gross.
Hate Dave, or do they hate David Johnson?
Well, David Johnson...
why was he used?
It's an embarrassment. It is. The trade was embarrassing, but also like the decision to bring him back this year is embarrassing also. You know what I mean? Like, he was bad last year. There was no reason for him to be here again this year. They just kept him here because they wanted to seem like the Hopkins trade wasn't that bad. Look, David Johnson is a valuable contributor to this offense, and he got hurt. You know, I think they kind of just like benched him because and called it an injury. But like, he's been an albatross this year.
So one of the guest hosts that was supposed to appear, are you going to agree with him? And when they say that Rex Burkhead is the best white running back in the entire league?
He's, well, Christian McCaffrey's hurt. So, yeah, he is. You know, it's kind of like whenever there's like only the last two animals on Earth and they're in the zoo and they're trying to get them to breed to make another one. Maybe we should put Christian McCaffrey and Rex Burkhead in a zoo exhibit together. And maybe they can make some more white running backs because we don't have any more left in the NFL.
That's exactly what they do in the wildlife, is they put two male white rhinos together in order to make a new baby white rhino.
Yeah.
That's exactly how this
Send
works.
Send them both to the San Diego Zoo this summer.
You know what? We need to send that in as a request. You have pen and paper? We're going to write this out. This is going to be a good letter.
Well, and fullbacks don't count also. Like, this has to be purely a running back. Yeah, but I'm upset, though. Your cousin Kirsten was going to come on the show, and because we have never had a Texans fan on this podcast, I don't think. And so I was really excited to actually be able to talk to a Texans fan about liking the Houston Texans. I told my wife during the game, looking around, it's like, you know, it really is sad. I feel bad for all these people here who really love the Houston Texans and came here today hoping they were going to win, wanting them to win, with some idea that they're going to win and that they're going to be good this year, and it just makes them sad every single week. I feel bad for them.
Boy, okay. Hold on. Do you really think that there was one Texans fan that believed that they were going to be good this year?
Yeah, there are a lot of them. I saw it all summer long. The Texans are going to surprise a lot of people this year. They have a lot of good veterans. They're going to be well-coached and disciplined. I saw a lot of it this past summer.
Next time you need to send me screenshots of that just so we can have receipts, because that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Why would anybody ever expect anything?
Yeah, it's crazy. What? I don't know. Do you want to hear a funny Texans Twitter thing?
Yeah.
So a friend of mine on Twitter, Noah, he's a big Texans fan. He posted a tweet last summer that said, "Everybody who likes this, I'll send you $50 if the Texans win less than 5 games this year." By the end of it, it came out to like $168,000. And they won 4 games. And he had like a response to it. He's like, "I don't think there's enough hours in the rest of my life to be able to make this money."
Oh my God.
It was very funny though.
Why would you ever make that type of proclamation? Of course, like, you're shooting yourself in the foot with those type of statements. Matt, you should probably do that. You should probably actually say, if the Texans win over 9 games next year, you will pay out $50 per life.
We'll see what happens this offseason, you know?
Wait, do you think there's a chance for them to win 10 games?
I don't think so, but, like, we'll see what happens this offseason.
Are you the – oh – this is because
they have
I get
draft
to
picks this year. They're going
to
trade Watson. You know,
that's what I was waiting for. This is your moment, right? This is what you've been predicting. They are trading Watson before this draft.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
I saw some report on Twitter that They're going to try to trade him before free agency begins on March 16th, before spring break.
But who is taking him? Are they going to get rid of him on pennies on the dollar here?
No. Somebody's going to give up 2 or 3 first-round picks for him.
Who?
He's a top-5 quarterback.
Okay. The Indianapolis Colts.
That's the only place he can't go. The Colts would be like, we'll give you 5 first-round picks, 5 second-round picks. It'd say, no. Never.
Hold on. Question. Would you take Jonathan Taylor for Deshaun Watson straight up?
No.
Oh, what?
No.
What?
I'd rather have Rex Burkhead than have Jonathan Taylor.
You got Davis Mills now. What? What do you mean you would take Rex Burkhead? You would take 12 games.
I have Rex Burkhead. I don't need Davis Mills. I mean, I don't need Jonathan Taylor.
I'm just saying, you have Jonathan Taylor. You have Davis Mills. You could draft some wide receivers. I don't know, man. You could have something there.
Well, so like that's the thing about next year. Like, I don't think Mills is good enough to be like, he's our star in 2022, no questions asked. I think you either draft somebody if a quarterback slides at, like, pick number 33, or if you have another first-round pick at, like, you know, 21, 25, I think it's worth drafting a quarterback early on the draft. Or, at minimum, you have to get, like, an under-30, you know, talented, high-drafted pedigree quarterback. You have to get, like, Jameis Winston or Bridgewater or Mariota or Trubisky. You know, you have to get somebody out there who at least, like, for a quarterback camp battle in 2022 so Mills can earn the spot. Because he wasn't good enough this year to be like, that's our starter, no questions asked for this upcoming season.
Completely disagree with you. He deserves the spot to at least be the starter for next going into it.
You can't have his backup be Ryan Finley next year, though, is the point I'm trying to make.
No, that's fine. No. What I agree with you on is, yes, you should probably draft, especially if one slips to like the spot of 33 here. But he should come in being the starter where that guy's automatically the rookie, wherever you draft, is automatically going to be the backup.
Yeah, compete for it. Davis Mills has to compete for the starting quarterback spot next year.
No, see, I don't agree with that point. I agree with them being able to have a backup like that to be able to get it going to where Davis Mills turns out to be as bad as you could say he is. Then that means that then we would have a rookie ready to go. I don't agree with he needs to fight for it. I think he's earned that spot next year.
He has to fight for it. He wasn't good enough this year to be able to walk in and be the starter. No, he wasn't.
Nice.
The thing about Mills this year is he went from unplayable to playable, and it was admirable. He played in a bad offense with a bad run-blocking offensive line, with a bad run game, with bad wide receivers, with a bad offensive coordinator. Like, I understand all that. But I think the thing about Mills, it's like, maybe if enough things break right, he could be like the 18th best quarterback. And if he's on a third round contract and he's paid like $2.2 million, like, you can build out a great offense around $2.2 million pretty easy. And then you have to make a decision, you know, 4 years down the road or whatever. But there's a lot of like ifs and a lot of things that have to go right for that thing to occur. I think he's a complimentary passer. I think, you know, it'd be interesting to see him in an actual good offense. And, you know, Houston should do everything in its possible to be able to, like, build out the skeleton of a good offense. So if the next quarterback is Mills or if it's somebody who they draft this year who develops or somebody who they draft in 2023 if they win 4 games next year, they have a easier spot for that player whenever they come around. You know, I think that's the way that they have to look at it. But I think, like, you know, maybe if not things break right, Mills could be a complimentary passer on a good offense, but they had to build out the entire interior of the offensive line. They need a right tackle, probably. They need 2 more pass catchers who can break man coverage. They need 2 new running backs. They need an offensive coordinator. And the early talks right now is that they're going to keep Tim Kelly around for next year. David Culley doesn't know if he's going to be the head coach still at the moment. They're valuing that still. And so there's still a lot of moving parts at the moment. I just think, like, even against San Francisco, he wasn't very good. He had 1 good half against Seattle. He was fine against, you know, Jacksonville. He wasn't very good against Jacksonville. He was fine. And then he was, you know, good against Tennessee. He was great against the Chargers. He's had, like, 3 good games all year, you know.
16 TDs, 10 interceptions. Doesn't mean that you're in a spot next year. 2,600 yards. That means nothing to you.
No.
None of this means anything.
No.
For a guy that's a third round pick coming into a situation where now he's going to be able to have a year under his belt. He has more confidence. He showed that more confidence towards the end. He started putting up number when the offense allowed him to. And he doesn't have that bad of an arm where you and I have spoken. You and I still have no clue of who type of rookie quarterback is out there. I don't think there is anybody. And that's why I say Davis Mills deserves another spot. Unless you think there is some gem that nobody has been talking about that only you know, I think Davis Mills deserves to have this type of spot. I mean, his stats are fine. And to your point, he's had some great games. Sure, he's been off at times, but that's what happens. That's exactly what happens when you're a backup quarterback. This, to me, is like a Case Keenum situation. Case Keenum was a backup quarterback that just put up these type of numbers, but he was able to get on a roll where then he deserved a spot to be able to see what he could really do. Mills deserves another chance here.
I think he deserves a chance to start next year. I just don't think you can go into next year that he's the starter and that's it, you know?
No, it's that.
Like, you have to add competition, and you have to have talent at the position still next year.
Taylor has spoken. That's it. 16 TDs, 10 interceptions. It's you. You got you. I got you, baby. It's all you, baby.
No. I mean, like, so since he came back after being benched, he threw 3, 5, 6, 9 touchdowns to 2 interceptions, you know? Well, and I'm going to write an article about, like, his last 5 starts of the year. Like, all the starts before that, except for New England, he was unplayable. And that's what I mean. Like, it was admirable for him to make the development that he made. You know, getting that, going back to the bench the middle part of the season, regrouping, and then coming back and playing like how he did in the second half of the year. He just wasn't consistent enough, and I think there's still some issues with this game that you may or may not get cleared up. But I don't think you can't go into next year saying he's the quarterback and that's it.
Can't wait for you to be trading for Carson Wentz, and then that's what turns into your QB battle because they trade Deshaun Watson to the Indianapolis Colts. That's what you deserve. Fine. It's going to be with Wentz.
That's another point as well too. Like the Watson trade, they should be able to get a quarterback back in it just to create competition. You know,
man, I don't think he's going to be traded.
You don't think he's going to get traded?
No. And if he does, I think it's going to be for nothing. It's going to be for garbage.
No. I mean, he's a top 5 quarterback, you know?
We don't know that anymore. That's donezo. It's donezo. We don't know what he is now.
No.
We don't know what he can do. He probably looks like Zion Williamson. We just don't know who he is. How many massages
no.
he gets. Now he's taking those type of photos with his lady on the birthday. I just don't know what I'm supposed to get if I am a GM out of this guy. That is the problem.
He's going to be he's a top 5 quarterback. Some teams going to get 3 first round picks for it, you know.
I think you're too late. This is going to be a San Antonio Spurs Kawhi Leonard situation. You get nothing. You get a DeMar DeRozan. You know who your DeMar DeRozan is? Carson Wentz.
No. No, not at all. I think there's some, like I said, like it's a quarterback league. Teams are going to be desperate. They're going to be even more desperate after this past season. It's some teams are going to trade for him. It's also like if you trade for him, maybe he's suspended for 6 games, you know, maybe 12 games. Even if he's suspended for a whole year.
2 years.
Even if he's suspended for a whole year, based off his previous performance, 3 first-round picks probably doesn't seem that crazy of a thing to give up for it, you know?
But it's been a year. I've already forgotten how he plays. I can't be reminded. So, in a way, since I have not seen, I do not know. Now the price has gone down.
I mean, I guess so.
That's why
I think you're going to be surprised by how desperate these teams are for a quarterback here pretty soon.
All right, so I'll put it to you this way. Would you take Baker?
No, I wouldn't take Baker.
That would be hilarious. Okay, I want a Baker situation then for you, or a Carson Wentz situation for you. Let's see, who else
This is what I want, Taylor. I want the Giants 2 first-round picks this year. I want another first. I want Daniel Jones.
You're not going to get that.
That's what I want.
You're not going to get that at all. I don't want that.
That's what I want.
Deshaun Watson is not coming to the NFC East.
All right, I want – no, that's Or give me Sam Darnold. Give me Derek Brown, Yetur Gross-Matos, Jeremy Chinn, and two first-round picks.
I think you're going to get a first-rounder and then a good player.
I don't think so. They're going to get at least two.
I don't think they're going to get two first.
They're going to get at least two first and a second.
I think it'll be later on in the first. It won't be easy, like, up front first.
Well, it will be like a 2020, you know, three first or whatever it is.
I don't think you're going to get a top five pick.
I don't know. I think they can.
You got to get – no, no, no.
Yeah. I think Giants make a lot of sense.
I'm going to be excited for this draft because if it doesn't happen – you know what? We have to be able to watch it and do a live live pod when it comes to the NFL draft just so I can watch your face as nothing happens. I'm just going to stare at you. Oh, my God. I'm just going to look at you the entire time as you just get angrier and angrier as time goes on. I'm going to love it. Oh, God. It'll be the best night ever.
Yeah, we can Twitch stream the NFL draft.
Yes, let's Twitch. Yeah.
We'll get six people on. We'll do a 4.5-hour Twitch stream of the 2022 NFL draft.
I'm going to be really, really drunk.
That's fine.
Only way I can keep going. How am I supposed to do 4.5 hours?
We got to. We got to. We'll have that people on, though. We'll have, like, other people from the website, too, if we try to do it. And so it'd be easy to make it go.
You're going to have Sam on again?
No. We're going to do... I don't know. We may do a 25-hour thing. We may do a 25-hour thing this week, this year. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Probably not.
That would be hilarious. You should allow Taylor to do a part of the 25-hour where then you have the side Smallville, Somebody Save Me Live.
Yeah, just cut away so you can do Smallville. That'd be a good idea.
And so you can cut away for about 1.5 to 2 hours, and then it's us doing that. This is your break.
That's a great idea. Yeah, if we do it this year, we'll do that for sure.
Okay.
I haven't brought it up yet, though. I don't know. We'll see what happens whenever we get a little bit later on in the summer. So going to the Texans game was a lot of fun. I'm glad to get the chance to do so. Thank you again, Tim, if you're listening, for the tickets you provide to us and our beautiful family. They're beautiful seats. Wish we could have met up this time, but maybe another time. And so that's it. That's the Texans season. We did 18 episodes of these recaps. We're going to do playoff previews now, maybe some playoff recaps. And so the playoffs this weekend, you ready for the schedule?
Ready.
All right, Super Wild Card weekend, Saturday, January 15th, Raiders-Bengals, 3:30 p.m., Raiders-Bengals, Saturday. Saturday night, Patriots-Bills, 7:15 p.m. And then Sunday, January 16th, we got Eagles-Bucks at 12, Niners-Cowboys at 3:30, and then we have Steelers-Chiefs to top us off.
Why is that the late? Oh, my God.
Yeah, also, that game's on CBS, too. That's a Nickelodeon game.
Oh, my God. Why is that the late game? This is so – I would never watch – why is the Pittsburgh Steelers got the noon game?
No, and then Steelers-Chiefs is the night game at 7:15. Because Patrick Mahomes has to play at nighttime with Chris Collinsworth. And then Monday, January 17th, they did something new. They created a Monday night football playoff game, Cardinals-Rams at 7:15, Monday, January 17th. I hate them. Like, I hate the extra playoff team. I hate both of the extra playoff teams. We got Steelers-Eagles this year. They both kind of suck. And then the extra playoff game is stupid. Both the extra playoff games are stupid. The Monday night football thing is stupid. It sucks. And you know what sucks the most? I'm going to sit there like a good pig and, you know, watch it all and eat it all up anyways.
Man, this is going to be brutal. I can't believe that they're the afternoon game. I mean, at work. This is so stupid. I expected them. So you're telling me that Patrick Mahomes and KC brings in a bigger audience than the Cowboys does. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, it's because Patrick Mahomes has to play at night.
I can't wait to watch Big Ben throw 52 dump offs. Where he's going to have 215 yards and 2 TDs and 4 interceptions. This is going to be a great game. your favorite honey badger is going to have all four picks too. And at least this Saturday just seems a little boring with Bengals and Raiders, because I would feel like that Bengals are just going to demolish them with that offense. Pats versus Bills. Bro, I'm going to be texting you every single minute just saying, how clinched is your booty hole right now? Because Josh Allen is blown.
He's been an MVP caliber quarterback the last 4 weeks of the season, you know? He's been crushing it.
So does he score over 20 points?
Like fantasy points or have no. three touchdowns?
Does he score over 20 points? Does the Bills have 20 points in this game?
Yeah.
I don't think they do.
Yeah, they do.
I think they lose.
They're going to have at least 20 points.
I think he's going to get it.
We'll preview it a little bit later this week. Do you want to watch any of these games together at all? You work Sunday? Are you off Saturday?
Well, I always work Sundays. I'm going to be off on Saturday, so if anything, we can watch the Pats versus Bills where I can laugh at you.
Sounds good. Let's do it.
All right, we can do that. I'm in.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. You know who likes to do it? Davis Mills, because he throws for over 300 yards. That's why Davis Mills tears it up with the 16 TDs and 10 interceptions. But according to Matt, that's just I poo-poo that.
I don't poo-poo it. I said he should get the chance to compete with another quarterback in 2022.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, he should compete against you, meaning that he should automatically earn it.
It's a little too late for that.
I know you're going to say, listen, Taylor, you haven't seen my arm now, okay?
No, my arm sucks. My shoulder's all screwed up.
Porter would have been state champs.
Yeah, if I was an obese in middle school, I would have been an NFL quarterback.
See the mountains? I'd throw a football over them.
Yeah. But we'll do that. They asked Davis Mills what his plans for the summer. He said play a lot of golf, play a lot of video games whenever he's not training.
Sounds like a very great guy to me. He seems like a very swell individual.
Apparently his video game is League of Legends.
Yeah, I don't play any of that game. The League of Legends stuff, the Mindhunter stuff, the other one where they build things, the island stuff. I don't do any of that. I don't. I've been playing now Red Dead, where I'm just a cowboy and I murder a lot of people whenever the sun goes down. I have $300 bounty in every single town. It's intense.
Yeah. There's only one video game worth playing, and that's MVP Baseball 2005.
Okay, we're not going back to this. I'm not doing this right now. That is the worst.
Being intellectual.
No, that's not an intellectual game. I can't believe that I remember meeting somebody that said that that was their favorite game. And the moment that he told me the year, I immediately threw a beer at him and I said, shut the hell up. And they didn't know what was going on.
It's the best game ever. Well, that's our show for tonight. It was a lot of fun. Sunday was a lot of fun. This weekend's going to be a lot of fun, even though there's too many playoff games. But we'll have fun previewing all six of them this Thursday night. So I got a lot of football to watch these next 2 days to get prepared for it.
I'm never going to be prepared, which is why I'm on this show. I'm here to party.
So until next time, I'm Matt Weston. Thank you for listening to Byron Radio. And thank you for being on tonight, Taylor.
Woo, let's go to the game again. Woo!
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.